Today is Rama Ekadasi. The glories of Rama Ekadasi are described in Brahma Vaivarta Purana in a conversation between Lord Sri Krishna and Maharaj Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir asked, "My dear Lord Krishna, will you please describe the glories of the sacred Ekadasi, which occurs during the Krishna Paksha of the Kartik month?" Lord Krishna replied, "O lion among kings, the name of this Ekadasi is Rama Ekadasi. It vanquishes all one's sinful reactions. Please hear the glories of this sacred Ekadasi. Long, long ago, there was a king named Muchukunda, who was a good friend of Indra, the king of heaven. And this king Muchukunda is mentioned in the Krishna book in Mathura Leela. When Jarasandh attacked Mathura for the 17th time, Krishna fled from the battlefield and entered a cave. And sleeping in that cave was the same king, Muchukunda, who was, as we will hear, he was a good friend of Indra and a demigod, so he was fighting very courageously on behalf of his friends, the demigods like Indra and Varuna and Kuvera, and to defeat the demons who were attacking the demigods. And then all the demigods, they met with King Muchukunda from the earth, and they said, "You are such a pious and wonderful king. We want to give you a boon and a benediction." And then he said, "I'm tired. I want to go to sleep." Now, don't take any encouragement from this story and ask us to provide you with one cave. So he said, "Will you please, I want to go somewhere where I can sleep nicely, and if anyone disturbs me, please give me the blessing, the power, that if they wake me up, and if I look at them, then they will burn to ashes from my glance." So he got this benediction. He came to Mathura and went to a cave, and he's sleeping there. So it's the same King Muchukunda. So he had a daughter named Chandrabhaga, who was named after a famous river. And she married a handsome man named Shoban, the son of Chandrasena. So one day, Shoban and Chandrabhaga went to her father's house on Ekadasi. And she was worried, and she started thinking, "Oh my Lord, what will happen now? My husband is Bhot Kamjor. He's very weak." Is that right? "And he cannot tolerate hunger. Moreover, my father is very strict. On the day before Ekadasi, my father sends one of his servants throughout the kingdom to make an announcement. No one can eat on the day of Ekadasi." When Shoban heard about this custom of his father-in-law, he said to his dear wife, "Oh, Priyaji, what should I do now? What can I do so that my life is protected and the order of the king will not be transgressed?" Chandrabhaga replied, "O Prabhu, what to speak of the human beings, even elephants, horses, and other animals in the kingdom of my father will not be allowed to eat anything today. A fasting horse, and porcupine. O husband, how then can the human being possibly eat? O respected husband, if you must eat today, then you will have to go back to your home. Therefore, consider carefully and take a decision." After hearing the words of his wife, Shoban said, "What you have said is indeed true, but I wish to observe this Ekadasi. Whatever is destined for me will certainly happen." Considering in this way, Shoban decided to observe the sacred Ekadasi, but he became overwhelmed with hunger and thirst. Sound familiar? When the sun set, all the Vaishnavas and pious human beings became very happy. O lion among kings, said Bhagavan Sri Krishna. They happily spent the entire night chanting and worshipping the Supreme Lord. But it was intolerable for Shoban to pass that night, and he died just before sunrise. Dun, 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 dun. King Muchakunda completed Shoban's funeral rites with royal prestige, burning him with fragrant sandalwood. Now that's pretty prestigious, because you need about 200 kilos of wood to burn a body. 200 kilos of sandalwood is bot jada mulya, or whatever, heavy price. Bot menga. Is that right? Bot menga. According to the order of her father, Chandrabhaga did not burn herself in a funeral fire. He said, hey, look, don't waste your life. Don't jump in. In other words, she did not die with her husband. I guess her father was too attached. After completing her husband's shraddh ceremony, Chandrabhaga continued to live in the house of her father. O king, meanwhile, by the influence of observing Rama Ekadashi, Shoban became elevated in his next life to become the king of the beautiful city of Devpura, which was situated on the peak of Mandara Mountain. He began to live in an opulent residence with pillars made of gold and bedecked with jewels and walls decorated with gems and crystals. Something like this. See, gems and crystals. A beautiful white umbrella was held over his head because he was royalty. Gods and kings deserve to have the white umbrella. Reserved. No one else can have. His head was decorated with a golden crown bedecked with jewels. His ears were decorated with earrings, and his neck he wore a necklace. His arms were decorated with golden armlets. In other words, he was decked out. He sat on the royal throne. He was always served by Gandharvas and Apsaras. And he appeared just like King Indra in heaven. One day, the Brahmin named, you guessed it, Soma Sharma. Standard Brahmin, Sharma. A resident of Muchakundapura arrived in the kingdom of Shoban in the course of traveling to holy places. Considering Shoban as the son-in-law of King Muchakunda, the Brahmin approached him. As soon as the king saw him, he stood up with folded hands and offered respectful obeisances to the Brahmin. Thereafter, Shoban inquired from the Brahmin about his well-being and the well-being of his father-in-law, Muchakunda, his wife, Chandrabhaga, and all the residents of Muchakundapura. So apparently he had a good memory, right? Because he died and he got a new body. Became a king of a new province, but he still was still attached to his wife from the previous life. Important message to consider. The attachment may go on for many lives. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukam hitucham kandu yanena karyori vaduka dukam. It's very difficult to give up. He and the Brahmin informed King Shoban that everyone in Muchakundapura was living in peace and harmony. In great amazement, the Brahmin said, King, I have never seen before such a beautiful city as this Devpura. How have you obtained such a kingdom? The king replied, by the influence of observing Rama Ekadashi, I received this temporary kingdom. O best of brahmanas, please advise me how my kingdom can remain permanently. That's a pretty standard meditation. Most people want their house to last forever, their kingdom to last forever, They're a family to last forever, and their bodies to last forever, everlasting. But unfortunately, they are not. So his wish was like this. Then he said, I think because I observed the Ekadashi without faith, that is why I received this unsteady kingdom. Please explain these topics to Chandrabhaga, the beautiful daughter of King Muchukunda. I think she is capable of making it steady. Very interesting concept. After hearing these words of King Shoban, the Brahmin returned to Muchukundapur and told everything to Chandrabhaga in detail. When Chandrabhaga heard the whole incident, you guessed it, she became extremely joyful. Oh, goody, goody. And said to the Brahmin, Oh, great Brahmin, your statements appear like a dream. Then the Brahmin Soma Sharma said, Oh, Beta, I have personally seen your husband at Devpuri, plus his entire kingdom, which is bright as the sun. But he told me that his kingdom was not steady. Therefore, you should try to make his kingdom steady by any means. So the king wants to go steady with his old wife to make his kingdom steady. Chandrabhaga said, Oh, respected Brahmin, please take me there because I have developed an intense desire to see my husband. I will make his kingdom steady on the strength of my piety. Oh, twice-born, please make some arrangement so I can meet him, for by helping the separated to meet, one accumulates piety. So this is one of the punya karmas, to unite separated people. So you can imagine how much punya the spiritual master attains, because he's uniting jivas with Krishna. We are separated parts and parcels of Krishna. Mavai mamayavamcho jivalike jivabhuta sanatana manashastrani indrani prakriti stanikarashati. Pavai Vamsho Jiva Bhuta. We says, Krishna says, the living entities are my separated parts and parcels. So there's some separation. We are separated by constitution, Tatastha Shakti. We are separated. That is the Lord's Leela, the Leela of being separated from his parts. But after experiencing that Leela, and then he also said, all right, but I also want to have union with my parts. I want you to come also over here. So there's two Leelas. Krishna's having two types of leelas with every one of his expansions. Every one of Krishna's expansions, he's having two types of leela. One is called Milan and one is called Viraha. One is called separation. So here we are parts and parcels of the Lord, but we're separated. So we're standing here in the material energy separated from Krishna. And we're feeling the separation. And this is, of course, we're ignorant of it for the most part. We're not aware of the separation. But as we become enlightened and progress up the scale of conscious development, we become aware of God and aware of identity. And then we become very strongly aware of how much separated we are from God. And this separation is the whole seven substance of bhakti yoga sadhana. It's to cultivate the mood of separation, the searching for the Lord, the quest. It's called the quest for the Lord, the search, the journey of self-discovery, as Prabhupada's book is titled. So we're searching for our self, but we're searching for the Supreme Self also. We want to find the real person within us, and we want to find the Supreme Person without us, who is both within us and without us. So this is the search for God. So now we're separated, and Krishna, who has made this arrangement for us to be in the separation leela, the Shristi leela, the jivas are all separated from the Lord. And this is his leela. This is all his pastime, Bhaktivinoda describes in Jiva Dharma, Shristi leela. He relishes this leela. But he doesn't want it to stay like that. He doesn't want us to stay permanently in separation. If he did want the Tathasta Jivas in the material world to always stay forever in separation from him, then he would never manifest his descents in this world, what is the need? He's in the spiritual world with all of his eternal associates, and we're here, separated. But he brings his holy Dham here, Ayodhya Dham, and he brings Vrindavan Dham, and he brings Navadvip Dham. And then he comes here and with so many avatars and so many descents to preach and to inspire us to go to the Param Dham. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma nayati mamati sarjana. He says that you come, don't take any more janma. Leave this world of janam mrityu, the samsara chakra. Leave this place. I'm coming here to invite you. Now, all right, you've been separated from me. Now turn your face toward me. You've been Krishna Bahir Mukh. Anadi Bahir Mukh. Anadi Krishna Bahir Mukh. Since time immemorial, forever, eternal time, your face is turned away in separation from me. You've been absorbed in the material energy and you have forgotten me. But I want you to remember me. And so I'm making all arrangements for you to remember me and to come to me and have union with me. Union with me as a parent, or as my mother, as my father, as my friend, as my lover, as my servant. I want to give you a chance for Milan, Sambhog. You can come now. Come to the kingdom of union. Come to the kingdom of enjoyment. Come to the kingdom of Braj. Leave this kingdom of birth and death. So the Lord doesn't want the living entity to rot eternally in separation. If he did, he would never come here. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. He comes here time after time to create this situation. So he says here that this Brahman, it's a pious activity, it's punya karma for him to make arrangement for this wife, Chandrabhaga, who's been separated from her husband, Shobhan. So if he makes arrangements to bring separated people together, then he accumulates his more Sukriti. So the preachers of Krishna consciousness, they're accumulating so many good deeds because they're making conditioned souls, they're bringing conditioned souls to Krishna. So this is also, of course, it's transcendental ultimately, but it's also a type of Sukriti. Helping separate the separated to meet. Thereafter, Soma Sharma took Chandrabhagu to the ashram of Vamadev near Mandara Mountain. After hearing the whole story from the bright-faced Chandrabhaga, Vamadeva initiated her with Vedic mantras. By the influence of the mantras received from the sage Vamadeva, and by the piety accumulated as a result of observing Ekadashi, Chandrabhaga obtained a divine body. Thereafter, Chandrabhaga happily went before her husband. Because King Shobhan was living on the earth planet, apparently. Well, it's not clear, but I think it was the earth planet with Muchukunda, or a higher planet. But somehow he attained. It seems from the story that Muchukunda was on the earth planet, and when this king died, because generally when kings die, they are elevated to heavenly planets. That's told in Bhagavad Gita. That if you die in the course of religion, serving the cause of religion, then you're elevated to Swarga, to heavenly planets. That's the point of preaching of Krishna. He said, there's no loss. Arjuna, if you die fighting for religion, you're fighting the cause of religion, and you die in the cause of religion, then you will go to the heavenly planets and get a new body there. There's nothing in the body, you'll never lose. And if you win the war, then you'll enjoy an earthly kingdom. Fantastic opulence and prestige and position. So this king died, King Shobhan, the son-in-law of Muchukunda, died in the course of religion. He's observing Ekadasi. What could be more religious than that? He was fasting, doing Nirjal Ekadasi, and he almost made it. He almost made it. Because he died just before sunrise. So I hope none of you follow in his footsteps and make it all the way to sunrise. Actually, that often happens. I see many devotees, they fast and stay awake, and around 4 o'clock they fall asleep, or 5 o'clock or something. So it's all right. It practice. Everything takes practice. It's not that Rome wasn't built in a day. It's all positive. It's all positive, isn't it? Because some people take rest at 8 o'clock at night. Don't even try to stay up all night. So the effort, the endeavor, Bhavagrahi Janardhan, Krishna rewards one for the effort. Most people say, "Oh, Jagran, forget it. I need my sleep. Forget it. I'm not sacrificing my sleep for the pleasure of Bhagavan. He can just do whatever he wants. He can sleep and I'll sleep." But someone thinks, "No, I should sacrifice. I should stay up all night. This is only 2 nights a month. This is special. Hari Vastra. I'm making so much sacrifice for money, and so much sacrifice for my family, and so much sacrifice for my physical body. But I can't sacrifice a little time for Bhagavan? What kind of human being am I?" It's like this. So this thinking is very good and progressive, and it's personal. You're thinking personally of Krishna to give up your time. Because Krishna says, if you stay up all night, I'm happy. Teachers ask us to do certain things to make them happy. Go to class, take examinations. Mothers and fathers ask us to do something to make them happy. So everyone wants us to do something to make them happy. So Bhagavan expects the human beings to do something to make him happy. So it's called Hari Vasara. Hari Vasara is the name of Ekadasi. It's his day. He's so kind. Just imagine if there were 5 Ekadasis in a month, or 10 Ekadasis. We shouldn't think how cruel he is. Oh, how cruel. What a cruel Lord. He wants his devotees to stay up 2 nights a month. How cruel. No, he's not Akrura. He's Akrura. He's not cruel. He's Akrura. He's very gentle, very kind. Okay, 30 days in a month, sometimes 31. He says, okay, give me 2. Slap me 2. Give me 2 days. You can have 28. Now, is that fair? But we're so stingy. We're so selfish. I'm not giving you as much village as fits on the head of a pin. We're kind of coming in Duryodhan Bhav. Duryodhan Sampradaya. Dhritarashtra Sampradaya. Krishna's only asking for 2 days. We say, forget it. I'm not giving you 1 day. Get lost. But Krishna doesn't fight like Arjuna and Pandavas. They fought for their kingdom and for religion. Krishna says, all right, have it your way. Stay here. Stay in the material world. If you do a little something for me, I will do a lot for you. This is Krishna's love. The children give a little bit to the parents, and the parents give a lot to the children. So much. The kids just go, ha ha, he he, and smile and talk in high-pitched voices and make funny noises, and the parents are happy with that. And then the parents have to work so hard just to get hear a few high-pitched voices. And so it's like this. So this is the situation here. So what happened was that all her piety and all her ekadasi, she used all that to leave the earth planet and go to Devapuri. She went to the sages, and the sages did puja and chanted all these mantras, and they initiated her. And by the mantras and all the sukriti she got from all the ekadasi, she used all of that sukriti and all those mantras simply to get a celestial body. She gave up her body like a gomeda yajna. You put the old horse in the fire and it comes out with a new body. So she got a new body, a celestial body. She went to Dev Puri. She met her husband, and they lived happily ever after. Haribo. But of course, they died. And then, upon seeing his wife, Shobhan became extremely pleased and satisfied. And Chandrabhaga's wife said, "Oh, respected husband, please hear my beneficial words. I've been observing strictly Ekadasi from the age of 8 years old at the house of my father," because that's a Shastric injunction, from the age of 8. "May that accumulated piety of all those Ekadasis, I will donate it to your kingdom so it will become steady and continue to prosper until the time of annihilation." In other words, it will come to an end because I'm not all-powerful. Thereafter, having received a divine body, that means demigod body, decorated with opulent ornaments, she began to enjoy the association of her husband. So that's a really good thing to do with all your sukriti. A whole life's worth of Nirjali goddesses. and you'd throw it away just to meet up with your husband again. But by the influence of Rama Ekadashi, Shobhana enjoyed with his wife at Mandara Mountain. And, oh king, this Rama Ekadashi is just like a wish-fulfilling cow or a touchstone. Lord Krishna continued, oh king Yudhisthira, I have explained to you the glories of the auspicious Rama Ekadashi. A person who strictly observes the vow of this Ekadashi is undoubtedly freed from the sin of killing a Brahmin. Just as black cows and white cows both give white milk, similarly, the two Ekadashis of the month award liberation to the followers. Anyone who hears the glories of this Ekadashi becomes liberated from all sinful reactions and happily resides in the abode of Vishnu. Okay, and then in the Garga Samhita we heard, as we often hear, that the sadhana siddha gopis, they met with Radharani in Boma Vrindavan, and they asked Radharani how they could, what vow they could do to please Sri Krishna. So Radharani said, you should observe Ekadashi in order to please Sri Krishna, Garga Samhita. So as I often mention, maybe we don't like Ekadashi. When we finally take birth from a gopi's womb in the Boma Vrindavan, where Krishna is having Prakat Leela, still Ekadashi is being performed. Oh, re. And joyfully so, in that situation of Sarup Siddhi. And then the gopis said, how can we please Krishna, these sadhana siddha gopis? And then Radharani said, you should observe Ekadashi. And then she said, Srimati Radharani said, if you simply, and then in addition to that, if you chant the names of the 24 plus 2 Ekadashis that occur every month, simply by chanting these names, you'll get the benefit of observing a Dwadasi fast for the entire year. So, in submission to the Garga Samhita and this pastime of Radharani, and we will, because this teaching was given to us by Garga Rishi, we also chant responsively these names of the 26 Ekadashis and hope that Radharani will bestow the same boon upon us, that we will get the purifying effect of observing 26 Ekadashi fast. So please repeat, everyone in the listening audience. Utpana.
Utpana.
Mokshada.
Mokshada.
Safala.
Safala.
Putrada.
Putrada.
Shatila.
Shatila.
Jaya.
Jaya.
Vijaya.
Vijaya.
Amalaki.
Amalaki.
Papamochini.
Papamochini.
Kamada.
Kamada.
Varutini.
Varutini.
Mohini.
Mohini.
Apara.
Apara.
Nirjala.
Nirjala.
Yogini.
Yogini.
Devashayani.
Devashayani.
Kamini.
Kamini.
Pavitra.
Pavitra.
Aja.
Aja.
Padma.
Padma.
Indira.
Indira.
Pashankusha.
Pashankusha.
Rama.
Rama.
Prabodhini.
Prabodhini.
These are 24. Then there's two more in Adhikamas, or the leap year. Padmini.
Padmini.
Parama.
Parama.
In Garga Samhita, Srimati Radharani said to the sadhana siddha gopis in Boma Vrindavan, anyone who chants the names of these 26 Ekadashis will obtain the result of observing the vow of Dwadashi for the entire year. Garga Samhita ki jai, Ekadashi Mahatmyam Padmaparana ki jai. Srimati Radha Rani ki jai, Rama Ekadashi ki jai, jai jai Shri Radhe.